When Frenchmen first discovered Niagara Falls, they were fascinated by what the Indians believed about the falls. They believed that coiled at the base was a huge serpent, and they call it the snake god. And the Frenchmen watched as every year they put a young Indian girl in a canoe, well decorated, and pushed her over the falls to sacrifice to the snake god. Years went by and roads were built to Niagara Falls, and it soon became the honeymoon capital of the world. One of our favorite pictures are May's great-grandparents who had their honeymoon there. Years later, some engineers took a look at the falls and thought, you know, we could harness this great water power to make a difference. So they built a hydroelectric plant that to this day brings power to Western New York and Ontario. Now, those three views, historical views toward the falls, parallel three views people have toward the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, you know, it's just kind of a myth. It was for a different age, but we're beyond that now. Others say, I believe the Holy Spirit is real and beautiful and works in other people like Billy Graham's and Mother Teresa's. And so they are spectators of the Holy Spirit. The third approach is to say, I believe that God wants me to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and harness his power to fulfill his purposes through me. The third view is what every true believer in Christ longs for. But there is a problem. And the problem we carry around with us every day. I know I do. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, that our hearts are deceitful above everything else and desperately sick. So we can take the wonderful desire to want the Holy Spirit in our lives and twist it the wrong way. So that we actually believe the Holy Spirit's number one agenda is to give me a happy life, to empower me and fulfill my desires, to give me what I want. Instead of what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit is holy, and the Holy Spirit has one unchanging passion. It never changes. His passion is to delight in the Father and in the Son. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a believer, where he pushes you is not to your agenda, but to God's agenda. So that what you want more than anything in the world is God. That's your priority number one. If I can only have him. Now this morning we're going to give an overview of the Holy Spirit's work. And then we'll focus next week more on what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today we want to answer three questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is his role in our lives? And how can we have a relationship with him? First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. Therefore, Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says this, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name, not names, name. Of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is saying they're co-equal. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a ghost. He's not an influence. He is not a junior in third string in the Trinity. He is God. The Holy Spirit was active in creation. The Holy Spirit inspired the prophets, the scriptures. The Holy Spirit brought about the virgin birth. The Holy Spirit brought Jesus out of the grave. The Holy Spirit has all of the attributes of God. Psalm 139 says he's all-knowing. Hebrews 9:14 says he's eternal. 1 Corinthians lets us know that he's omnipresent. So do you really believe that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son? Maybe we really don't. I've been asked this question many, many times. Is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? And I respond by saying, is it okay to pray to Jesus? Yeah. Is it okay to pray to the Father? Yeah. Then why can't you pray to the Holy Spirit? Well, Pastor, don't you know your theology? Yes, Pastor, you know that the Bible teaches you pray to the Father through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that. But the Holy Spirit is a person. And 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had fellowship with somebody you don't talk to? You can talk to the Holy Spirit. He's God. Secondly, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? The Holy Spirit targets unbelievers. He works on them, but the Holy Spirit works in believers. The Holy Spirit's role toward unbelievers is given to us in John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. It says, he convicts unbelievers. Convict simply means to convince, to persuade. And he has three things to persuade an unbeliever of. If this is happening in your life, mark it. It didn't come from you or your culture or your background. This is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers of sin. You're more aware of your sin if you are Holy Spirit at work. Of righteousness, there is a standard. You cannot meet it, so you're guilty. And the third thing is judgment. That judgment is coming because of your sin and your failure to obey God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I get a lot of fascinating interactions with people, and I got a letter recently from a man I've never met except through his letters through the years. He's a medical doctor and quite sophisticated unbeliever. But this letter was with last week. He said, I've had a conversion experience, and it's quite strange. I want to tell you about it. He said, I was at Kaiser, and I had my billfold under my arm, and I dropped it without knowing it, went out to my car, realized it, panicked, came back, couldn't find it. Went back to my car, panicked, and suddenly a disheveled man showed up, and he said, did you lose your billfold, sir? And he said, yes. And he said, go in there. I know where it's at. He went in there. There it was. He came back to the disheveled man, and he said, you're going to go to heaven for doing that. And the man said, yes, I am, but not for doing that. And he preached the gospel to him. And then this man got in his car, and he said, I had an overwhelming sense of my utter sinfulness. And I drove home and I wept like a baby all the way home. And when I got home, I wept again. That's the Holy Spirit. This has happened hundreds of times. I'll give you an example. A man comes to me, makes an appointment. He says, I don't understand what's happening to me. I've never wanted to pray, never wanted to read the Bible, hated church. Suddenly, I can't stand it. I want to pray all the time. I love the scripture, and I can't wait till Sunday. What is going on? And I said, John 6:44 on you. And he said, what's that? And I said, let's look it up. John 6:44, Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, the Holy Spirit convicted him. The Father's drawing him. And I said, God's calling you. Don't resist it. And he said, well, why didn't he call me before? And I said, he knows when to pull the line. Don't resist. He came to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. This morning, if you're aware of your sin, you know you constantly fail, judgment is coming, don't resist. That is God, through the Spirit, pulling you. The Holy Spirit has a multifaceted work in believers. If you're a believer in Christ, we're going to give you a sweeping overview of 15 things the Holy Spirit does, and these aren't complete. This is just a sampling. The first thing the Holy Spirit does to a believer is you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is so much confusion on that, so let's clear this up. This is not a weird, mystical thing. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is mentioned over only 7 times in the New Testament. The first 4 is where John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, he Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. The agent is the Holy Spirit. Four times. The next two times it quotes what John said. That leaves only one other place. It's the clearest definition of what baptism with the Holy Spirit means in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And here's what it says. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you are baptized by Jesus into the Holy Spirit. Baptized with the Spirit. What does that mean? I'm a part of the body of Christ. He has been grafted into me. I am in Christ, baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? A good analogy that has helped me understand it is an organ transplant. When doctors transplant an organ into somebody's body, they always give them anti-rejection drugs so that their immune system will slow down and not reject the new organ. That is what it's like to come to Christ and be baptized with the Spirit. Christ has been grafted into our sinful bodies. But the Holy Spirit is there to make sure we don't reject that new identity in Christ, but instead we embrace it. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Second thing he does is he causes you to be born again, regenerated, the new birth. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, you've not been saved on the basis of deeds done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes you to come alive to God. Right now, there are thousands of TV programs, radio programs available to us in this room. What's missing? An instrument. Give me a radio or a TV and we'll tune in. The Holy Spirit is the divine instrument. Now I'm tuned in to God. And here's what is unique about Christianity. Every other religion is God is out there and I'm hoping he will come in here. Only Christianity says, hello, he's in you. You have God himself dwelling in you. You've been born again by the Holy Spirit. That leads to the third thing. He indwells you. He's at home in you. He lives in you. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. In John 14:16, it's wonderful. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. You cannot get rid of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3 says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He used the word naos. It means holy of holies. Now think about it. I bet you there's things in your life you would never do in this church. You would say, oh, you can't do that in church. Hello, this isn't where God lives. He lives in you. What are you doing with his temple? And I want to remind you, Jesus is still in the business of cleansing temples. It's the Holy Spirit's dwelling place. He indwells you. God went through three humiliations. First, he stooped to become a man, the incarnation. Then he was nailed to a cross for our sins. And then he took on flesh, us. He came to live within us. He indwells us. The Holy Spirit seals us. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians 4 says, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what does that mean? Sealing means two things. It means ownership and it means protection. If you seal a document, then it's only to be opened by the proper person it's addressed to. We are sealed. We're owned by the Holy Spirit. And it's protection. Now, growing up, I used to watch my grandmother do canning. And what she would do is take these jars and boil them. She called it sterilizing the jars. And I'd think, who would want sterilized jars? There was a reason. She then put peaches in those jars. And then lastly, she sealed them. What a picture of our salvation. God's sterilizing agent is the blood of Christ. He purifies me. Why? so that Christ can come within me. And the Holy Spirit seals it. I'm permanently in Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit fills us. Not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, but every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You will never get more of the Holy Spirit than you got the day you came to Christ. But the Holy Spirit wants to get a whole lot more of you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a commandment. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine. That's dissipation. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word drunk and filled, same word. I've seen a lot of drunk people. How about you? How do you know they're drunk? It's easy. Look at their voice. Look at their relationships, their body language. Well, how would you know if somebody was drunk with the Holy Spirit? Same thing. Their speech, their relationships, their attitudes. Being filled with the Spirit simply means to be under his influence. Like a drunk man is under the influence of alcohol. We're going to focus on what that means more next week. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance of salvation. Now, I want to give you a verse that's often ripped out of its context. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God." Don't ignore the context. Right before he says this, he tells us three things the Holy Spirit does. And then he says, this is how you know you're in the kingdom. Three things the Holy Spirit will do in you if you're really a Christian is he'll push you to say death to sin in my life. Fight it. Second thing he'll do is he'll guide you. He will push you to be guided by the Word of God. The third thing he'll do is push you to worship. You cry, "Abba, Father, I delight in God." Then he says, if those three things are in your life, he bears witness. Yep, you're in. That's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit, seventhly, came to glorify Christ. Not himself, but Christ. John 16:14 says, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll glorify me, for he'll take of mine and disclose it to you." The Holy Spirit is the PR man in the Trinity. He's always pointing away from himself to Christ. The monuments downtown are beautiful at night when the lights are on them. And when I see those, I don't come away and tell people who've never seen them before, "Those lights were magnificent." I tell them about the monuments. The lights are there to show off the monuments, not themselves. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit, if you're in tune with him, you're captivated by Jesus. Jesus is amazing. That's Holy Spirit work. One of the men in our church came to me a few weeks ago, and in passing he said, "I'm changing my giving to give a lot more to the poor and my time." How come? He had been exposed to how Jesus does that. That's Holy Spirit work. There's a professor who was hungry for Christ but kept resisting for one reason. Her terrible background, she had a horrible father, and every time she heard God the Father, she cringed. She couldn't stand that word. Until one day, she was reading Jesus talking to Philip, who said this, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And then it dawned on her. So that's what God is like. He's like Jesus. He loves women. He loves the depressed. He's approachable. She came to Christ. The Holy Spirit always exalts Christ. The Holy Spirit, number eight, is our teacher. Oh, this is so helpful. We need human teachers, but you've got a built-in teacher. 1 John 2 says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." Now, I'm nearsighted, so, Pack, I can't even see you. It is you, Pack. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. Without the Holy Spirit, it's a blur. I don't get it. When I come to Christ, suddenly, I understand the scriptures. He's a built-in teacher. The Holy Spirit, number nine, guides you. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "If you're sons of God, you're led by the Spirit." John 16 says, "He will guide you into all the truth." Here's what's so important. How do you know if it's the Holy Spirit guiding you, if it matches this book. If it doesn't, question it. The Holy Spirit has a voice. This is it. He always takes you to the roadmap of the Word of God. Always. He never contradicts it. He authored the Word of God. The guidance is always in light of biblical truth. Have you had people during the week that just keep coming to your mind? Has it ever dawned on you? That's the Holy Spirit saying, I'm trying to guide you. Pray for him. Pray for him. Do you go through times where you just say, I don't know what to do? Do you regularly say, Holy Spirit, give me insight? That's happened to me hundreds of times in counseling. I don't have a clue what to say, and I'm praying, Lord, help. And phew, here it comes. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit prays for you. Oh, I like this one. Romans 8, 26 and 27. We don't know how to pray as we should, and all God's people said amen. But he, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't it thrilling to know? 24/7, 365, by name, Jesus never stops praying for you. The Holy Spirit never stops praying for you. When you get in a situation you don't know how to pray, Holy Spirit, you do. I'm leaning on you. He prays according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit empowers you to witness, to share Christ. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I used to be on the staff with Campus Crusade, and we had a little saying that was so helpful. Share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. We're in sales, not management. We just do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. He does that. But if you're a Christian, you have built within you from the Holy Spirit a desire to share Christ with people. And he empowers that. Somebody put it this way. One spark of lightning is worth 10,000 little candles. One word inspired by the Holy Spirit is worth 10,000 words without his power. The Holy Spirit produces Christ-like character in us. Now, I've always, through the years, misquoted Galatians 5:22. It says, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. No, it does not. The fruit, singular, of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So what does that mean? Fruit means that I get it all at once. I don't, one day the Holy Spirit may give me patience. Hang on, maybe tomorrow he'll give you love. I got it all anytime I want it. And fruit comes as a byproduct of abiding in the vine. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is a byproduct of trusting God, leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit. And he produces those character qualities within me. Let's take one, Romans 5:5. Do you have any, this couldn't be true. Do you have any people in your life that are just hard to love? Am I the only one? Okay, we all have this. So Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Now, when I get in a place, somebody that I don't want to love, here's what I do. I have a little conversation. Hello, Steve. Hello. Do you think the Holy Spirit loves that person? Yes. Do you love that person? No. Why don't you? Because I'm resisting the Holy Spirit. Could you love them? Yes. Will you? Yes. The Holy Spirit loves everybody. The problem is me. I need to get in tune with him. The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts. Every single believer. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit gives you a unique capacity to serve in the body of Christ as he wills. It's no accident that you're in a church, small group, you're gifted. Holy Spirit gave that to you. Discover it and be used. The Holy Spirit comforts you. What a beautiful word. Are you going through a time of deep, deep disappointment and hurt? Holy Spirit comfort. The word comfort is para, beside, kletos, to call. Have you ever had somebody in your life who lives this out? That when you're hurting, they don't lecture you. They give you the ear and the shoulder, not the mouth. They're just there. They come alongside to help. Listen, you have the Holy Spirit of God on duty 24/7 to comfort you if you'll just call out to Him. The Holy Spirit, lastly, inhibits sin in the believer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, powerful chapter, you ought to read it, talks about God's call to sexual purity among His people. It's crystal clear. Fight sexual immorality. And then this verse comes. He who will not accept this is not resisting man, but God who gave the Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit will push you towards sexual purity. Every holy resolve, every single time you want to pray, every time you hunger for the Word of God, every push to do something right, every time it's from the same place, it's the Spirit of God. That's His job. So that leads to our last question. So how do I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? We're going to spend a lot of time on this next week, but briefly, let's say this. We just went over His job description. Now we know this is what the Holy Spirit does. Now, how do I have a relationship with Him? By faith. Faith is not just, oh, I believe that's true. Faith is acting on it, aggressively trusting in. Here's what I recommend you do. I've done this for years. It makes a huge difference. Get this beside your bed. Let's all try this week. Put it beside your bed when you wake up in the morning. Before you get out of the bed, now do this. Before you get out of the bed, lay there, pull out your list and say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're alive and well in me today. Here's your job description. Pray through these. As you go through the day, bring them back to mind. Call on the Holy Spirit. Begin to develop a relationship with Him. Now, what does this look like? My grandparents, well into their late 70s, had an acre garden. And every summer I would go work in that garden and I learned about string pole beans. If you put a pole in the ground, these beans grow up around it. Now what happens to string pole beans without the pole? They're a gnarled up mess. Now the pole is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit pushes us like it does string pole beans to grow wrapped around the Word of God. If you know the job description of the Holy Spirit, wrap your faith around it. Call on Him over and over. Look at Galatians 2:20. There's a part of this I just love. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Look at this. But Christ who lives in me. How could Christ live in all of us? Through the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. Jesus is no longer limited to His physical body. He sent the Holy Spirit, a comforter just like Him, to live within us. Look at Galatians 5:16. Here's a commandment and a promise. Walk by the Spirit. Walk step by step in tune with the Holy Spirit. And here's the promise. You will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Here's what I've done for years. I want to repent. I've made an application for a job that is already filled. I've applied to be Holy Spirit in my own life. Have you ever done that? I've got an issue. I know what I'll do. I'll discipline myself. I'll get this fixed. Hello, the Holy Spirit. When you walk by the Spirit, not your self-effort, you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. Quit making applications for a job that's already filled. Instead, surrender. Holy Spirit, I'm yours. I'm your vessel. I yield. Now, this morning, let me ask you, how did the Holy Spirit speak to you? Here's what's amazing about the Holy Spirit. Everybody hears it a different way. Some verse, something. What zeroed in? Where did the Holy Spirit speak? Don't waste it. In a moment, I want to lead us in prayer. Maybe some of you are under deep conviction and you know you need to come to Christ. Come, don't resist it. And maybe some of you have been living the Christian life in your own flesh. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. Let's pray together. This morning, if the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you've never trusted Christ, would you do it right now? Would you quit resisting and right now say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Save me. Forgive me. And if you're a believer today, would you join me in saying, Holy Spirit, I repent. Many times I twist what you want to do to make it all about me instead of all about you and all about being passionate for God. So Holy Spirit, today, fill me. Do your work in me. Help me develop a relationship with you. Lord, drive these decisions home for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.